another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jewels.
Hello everybody and welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm your host Lee Harris and from myself and from Jules, happy 2011. We made it to 2011. I'm really excited about this year coming. It really feels in some ways the most powerful year we're going to have had since 2007. When I say powerful, I really mean in terms of good changes for people and good experiences for people. The last 3 years have been fairly intense, so I think this is a great thing. So welcome to your new year, and I hope that you all had a great Christmas and wonderful New Year celebrations, and it's a pleasure for me to be hosting this first show of the year and kicking it off. And it is also slightly strange in one way, because this will actually be my last show for a while. I have been working, as some of you know, as a musician for the last 10 years, as well as the work that I do spiritually. And it's time for me to finish an album that I've been working on that we started in 2009. It's been around a long time, and I need to complete that now. So we're aiming to do this by the end of March. And as a result, I'm going to just slightly dial back on the amount of work that I'm doing. So this will be my final co-hosting of Law of Attraction show. So I've had a really, really great 5 months with all of you. And thank you to you for listening. And thank you to Jules for allowing me to step in once a month for her. Because it's been a great learning curve and it's been a lot of fun. So I will return with a podcast, probably my own show. I don't know when yet exactly. I'm hoping it might be by summer, but who knows these days? So many things happen. So if you want to keep in touch with me, or if you want to check when the podcast is ready, just sign up for my newsletter, which is at my website, leeharrisenergy.com. And also, those of you who enjoy the energy forecasts, which I read out on the show each month, I actually post those on my blog. They are written energy forecasts that I then read on the show. And I will be continuing to do these every month. So you can always check my website, or if you sign up to the newsletter there, you will receive a mail every time there's a new one.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com.
Let's get on with the show, because enough dwelling on endings. Let's look at the beginnings of this year, and let's look at the January energy forecast. January energy forecast. Concrete change begins. Many of you will have noticed that these past few years have been ones of clearing the way, with periods of forward movement, then periods of integration. Integration that sometimes felt like regression. The old mind, which sees the world based on how things were 5 to 10 years ago, often tells you this process is chaotic or that something is going wrong. Yet the experience is playing out exactly as was predicted for a long time. These years were always about a great shift for the planet and us, its people. And the shift takes place within us as much as outside of us. So that has been the pattern for the last few years. 2011 sees a noticeable difference. Where many of you have been energy surfing for a few years and have now got used to this ride, it has taught you to stay grounded through it all, to let go of control, surrender to what is, feel what you're feeling and simply get on with it, for you never quite know what's coming next. This truth of life has been in evidence more than ever in recent times. Well, January will see more of you getting on with it than ever before, and this will give you a powerful energy upshift for the month, and will be in stark contrast to many around you. January is usually the lowest month emotionally for the Western world. The festivities of Christmas are over, fatigue and or disillusionment sets in for those who had a strong focus on the holidays and suddenly let go of that focus. And in most countries, the weather is a literal challenge to our bodies. The lack of light affects our physical mood, and the magic of Christmas lights get taken down. So stay conscious of this and hold your own vibration during these energies going on around you. Physical exercise, fresh air and nature, listening to music, and dancing will be great remedies for this. And you will find many of you who have dealt with clearing yourselves emotionally for a long time will now immerse yourselves in new projects and activities. Don't turn down invitations to try new things or go to new places this month, as shifting your energy towards anything that's new in January has a positive effect. It sets up a template for the year where you can be open to new things and new people coming into your life. And you will be surprised at where those things take you. Anything new will have a powerful energy in January, while older or more known things will be somewhat more stable and quiet for you. In some ways, this quiet internal space that many will go through this month will allow those of you holding a high vibration to step forward, to receive some of the energetic space that is left behind by those who are feeling the need to internalize. This year will see many of you paving the way for your next 2 to 3 years and making concrete new realities for yourselves. If you're working on creative projects, from January onwards, recognize that these projects will form a strong part of your world for the next 2 to 3 years. They will be holding an energy of 2012, as everything being created in this year is designed to withstand and usher in the changes that 2012 will bring. Everything not in alignment with that energy will either not work or be left unformed. The intensity experienced by most of you in November and December will calm in January, as until March 2011, the new influx of energies will be coming at a steadier pace, and what began to hit in November is stabilizing now. Be aware that any new commitments, however, should be considered carefully. Playing with and experiencing new avenues will work well, but trying to define commitments with others for a long-term future, business, friendship, or relationship, would be better in February and March. The one energy January will continue with, and we first talked about this in December, is asking you to let go of all that is not your frequency. So anything new coming in this month will need a 2 to 3 month period to stabilize before you commit to anything long term. Now, this part of my forecast surprised me as I was writing it, as I thought to myself, surely we've all become aware that nothing is for certain in this life regarding commitments. However, I was assured that this information is important, as for some of you, being asked to commit to new things and new people will come up, and those requests will often be coming from people who want to harness or hold on to your energy. And by February or March, you will have seen this and realized these are not the tethers for you. So just stay mindful that any commitments you make are only needed in the now, and anyone pressuring you to sign a dotted line you should be wary of. You will know in a month or two what commitment is required, and if a signature is something you want to give, you can give it then. This last paragraph will show up in personal dynamics too. You will have confrontations, clearings within some personal relationships, where it will be time to move out of old contracts and roles with each other. 50% of these relationships will strengthen as a result, and 50% will lessen their importance in your life for a while. It's all good, however it may seem in the moment. Times are changing, and so too do you need to. These released contracts will allow you to bring in the new. We are more defined by the people around us than we usually realize. So 2011 will be the most important year of your life so far, and as a result, it will be a year colored by big decisions and big experiences as this new wave of light gets more grounded. It is becoming more concrete now on Earth, within you and in everyone. This month is the beginning to a year of a celebration of freedoms around the world. Remember that freedom often comes after recognizing you are in a prison, or at the cost of breaking broken shackles or handcuffs you have been bound in. The wrist burn that accompanies breaking handcuffs is quickly replaced by the euphoria of freedom. So if November and December saw you experiencing more shackle releasing than ever, January brings you more freedom than the past few years have given you. And that begins with you and your energy. So throw yourself into whatever feels right and let the momentum take you. Go explore the world again. Okay, so that's the January energy forecast. I hope you all have a great month, and it certainly sounds a little easier than the December energy forecast. And I have to say, I think I mentioned this on the last show, you know, writing those forecasts is interesting for me because I go to a very psychic space when I write them, the same space that I use in my energy work with people or my personal sessions. And it's interesting because when I wrote the December one, I think I shared this on last month's show, I literally, as I'd finished writing the energy forecast, my own fear got activated, which isn't normal, but it was very true because I really experienced some really great moments in December, but also some really big challenge moments, which were definitely, I think, very apt. And I went back and looked at the energy forecast during December twice, I think, and it was a useful guide tool for me in a way. So January feels a lot lighter and also sounds a lot lighter, but still there is this sense of moving forward. And I think the one thing to keep conscious of is this idea of changes in your life. So changes with people, especially if you're going through relationship changes, you know, as you're upgrading all the time, which we all are, we're all evolving all of the time and becoming, you know, essentially more of who we are or more of who we want to be based on our past and present experiences, it just naturally follows that relationships ebb and flow and change. And those can be friendships, those can be lover relationships, those can be work relationships. And there seems to be a real theme going on at the moment around people finding their voice within relationships and maybe saying things that they've never said before, or saying things to people they wouldn't normally get into what they might feel as a confrontation with. So just trust that process, really trust that process. If it comes through you in the moment, it's a natural moment. If you're thinking for 4 days, how can I best, you know, kind of push my will or push my opinion onto this person who hurt me, or then it's coming from a different place. Then it's coming from, you know, a kind of bruise or a wound in you. And you're wanting to try and, you know, rebalance the wound by pushing back against them. But when it's just a momentary thing, you know, you're in the moment with somebody and it just surprises you that you speak to them in a very firm way, always trust it, because then you're just in the flow of energy, and energetically, for some reason, you're needing to create a boundary with that person. And, you know, really don't get into a story around it, because there isn't a story. You know, that we all have a story of life, if you like. We all have our minds and our ideas and our perspectives, but one person's perspective is completely different to the others. So think about friends you've known who are having an argument, for example, and one of them will tell you one story and the other one will tell you another story. The stories really aren't important because they're just the stories that each person is holding on to and processing. The energies are the most important thing, and the truth of an energetic conflict between people is they're in a conflict moment and they're using each other to either go through some inner conflict or just distance from each other for a while. You know, and if you look at how society is around what a marriage should be or what a parent-child relationship should be, there are a lot of shoulds And all of those shoulds, without exception, are based on the past. And the past is always changing, it's always updating. So just bear that in mind, you know, life is a strange thing sometimes. And I think there can be a very strong desire in us as human beings to be able to control everything, to be able to control how peaceful we're being, how loving we're being, what we're receiving, all of those things. And actually, at the end of the day, none of us are in control in the way that we think we are, or the way that we like to think that we are sometimes. So you just have to throw your hands up in the air and go, okay, what's next? Where do I go next? And the best way to deal with that is always your feelings. Follow your feelings and trust your feelings. Even if some of the feelings you're going through don't feel so nice, or something's come up with somebody where you didn't feel like you were in your grace, just trust it and move on. You know, we can't change the past, but we can constantly reinvent our present and our future based on how we want to feel. So, on that note, I'm going to answer the first question of this month. And this comes from Natasha. So thank you, Natasha. Oh, apologies, it's Natasha. The email is Natasha, and I've just read your name, Natasha, and there is actually an H in your name. So here is Natasha's question. Good day to you, Lee. I'm grateful to ask a question. I would love to know more about my life purpose. There are more than one thing that I would like to do. In the last couple of years, I'm not sure what direction to look in. Okay, this is a brilliant question because I think it's such a universal one. But I think what you've really nailed here, Natasha, is the symptoms and the syndromes of the last few years. I know many, many people, either in my personal life or people that I've worked with in sessions or in seminars, who in the last few years have lost what used to be their overriding goal. You know, they would have one dream or two dreams or very set ideas about what it was they wanted to do. And in the last few years, it's a common theme that people have kind of lost that focus. There are a few reasons for this. Number one, we're becoming more multidimensional. You know, as a society and as a human race, we are becoming better at multitasking, basically. And often people are dealing with the overwhelming world. You know, there are some wonderful things about our modern world in 2010, but also it's definitely taken its toll on certain people. You know, how fast everything is and how much communication is everywhere. And, you know, things like Facebook, which have been a brilliant phenomenon where suddenly you can be connected to everyone in the world. That changes your energy, you know. We didn't know what that experience was like 10 or 20 years ago. So as a planet, we're getting used to this new level of connectivity. And technology mirrors energy. Energetically, we're getting more connected to our feelings, our instincts. We're basically getting higher. So there are more options the higher you go, and single focus becomes less important the more you expand. You just tend to flow with things, and you're able to do more things. You know, you're able to open up more skills in yourself. You're able to just experience things because you haven't got such judgments or reservations about trying out new things. So in your case personally, there's two things I feel with you. Number one, you have a little bit of a hesitancy around moving forward because you're not quite sure what to do. And in the past, you used to be quite sure about what you wanted to do before you did it. So just give yourself permission to dive in without the safety net. You know, it's the old saying, I think it's leap and the net will appear, or something along those lines. It's a great saying and it's very true. But also with you, Natasha, give yourself time to just get used to everything. The last 2-3 years for you, like many people, have been pretty overwhelming. It's like you've gone through a lot of big life changes and a lot of energetic changes. And grounding those energetic changes are really important. And until you're doing that, it's quite hard to move forward. You know, one of the things that I talk to people about with using channeling or using things that have a high frequency healing, you do have to bring it back to the body. You know, it's a wonderful thing to fly off into a channeled vibration and raise your own vibration in that hour and have this euphoric experience. Or it's a wonderful thing to meditate or do yoga. But the actual real key is not how did you get up there, it's actually how do you hold on to that vibration when you come back down to your body. So for you, giving yourself time to just keep grounding your energy, but the biggest piece of advice I would give to you is just try a few things. And the fact that you've got more than one thing that you would like to do, give yourself time to do those things. So for example, if you're currently going, well, there are four things I would love to do in my life, but I don't know where to start. If you want to start, and if you feel ready to start, number one, give yourself a break about the amount of time that you have, and you know, just recognize it might take you 4 or 5 years to even start all four of those projects. But which one feels most important now? Does it feel important to focus on those two career things that you would like to do, pick one of them and start? Or does it feel more important to go and take that class in Tai Chi or kickboxing, you know, that you've also been feeling you would like to do, which isn't a work thing, but it's a personal thing? And I would make sure that you stay balanced, you know, always, especially those of you who've had this sense of mission or that you're here to change the world, it's really, really important to focus on yourself. And I think for people who've got a sense of mission, it's one of the hardest things to often do. You know, it's definitely been the hardest area for me to kind of focus on the self as much as focusing on the work that you're doing in the world. And so recognizing that's a challenge actually makes it easier, because then you go, okay, this is my challenge area. So for you, Natasha, make sure that the things that you're doing are nicely balanced between things that you feel you're doing in your personal life and things that you're doing in your work. But also, the reason I'm saying this is recognizing there is actually no separation. Recognizing that our work is our personal life and our personal life is our work. Kind of being able to merge and flow the two is really important. So I hope that helps, and just give yourself time and just follow your feelings. If you're not sure about where to move forward, but you feel like you want to move forward, just pick something and you'll know if it's not working. You'll know within an hour or a day, and then you can pick something else and move forward, and eventually something will flow. But take the pressure off yourself. You're going to achieve lots of things in the coming years. But if you take the focus off achieving and onto enjoying and experiencing, you'll not only have a better time, you'll really, really make some waves. Okay. Thank you, Natasha. So we're going to have a few more questions shortly, but before we do, I'm going to play two songs of my own on this show, this final show of my co-hosting duties. And these are songs that aren't really ever very heard. I've got an album from 2002, which is called Shapeshifting, and a new album coming out soon. And last year I released an EP called Phoenix, which is 5 live recordings. And all of my music's available at leeharris.org. Or if you sign up for my spiritual newsletter, you know, I always inform people when there's new music anyway. But these two songs are songs that were recorded in Ibiza in 2005. And this first song I'm going to play you is called Time Will Remember. And it's a song that fairly personal. A lot of my songs are very personal, really. And I wrote this song because I was ending a 2-year relationship that I was really clear needed to end. But, you know, there was a sadness that accompanied that. But it was the first time in my life I'd had a clarity and a peace about moving forward and recognizing that, you know, you're in a relationship for 2 years and that doesn't go away. That stays with you and that's going to come with you in life. And, you know, I was younger at the time and still at that place where that was a new thing for me. So this is the song that I wrote, and it's called Time Will Remember. I hope you enjoy.
So now, where do we go from here? Yellow brick road disappeared. We'll never find our way. From this single room, there must be something soon to bring us to a brighter day. And pray. it's naive. Depends what you believe. I guess I'll know when it's all through.
Will remember, and we are currently in talks to release the material that I recorded in Ibiza in that period through my own website. So with any luck, I mean, it's not 100% certain yet, but I'm hoping that we'll be releasing a collection of those songs maybe by spring before the new album. We'll see. But as I said, if you're on my newsletter, you'll find out if there's more coming. And I'll play another one from that collection at the end of the show. Okay. Now we go to a couple of other questions. So, interestingly, I've had two questions come in this month about 2012. So I'm going to answer both of those questions before I play you an excerpt from the recording that we're making the monthly special on my site this month. It's called 2012 Now. It's a recording I made in 2009. It's a channel all about 2012 and the energy of that year, what we're moving towards within it, and it's one of my favorites. And so this month it's 50% off for the month of January. I'll play you a clip from that, but before I do, I thought it was perfect that we had a couple of 2012 questions coming. So my question, this is from Marie. My question is, what is your perception about what ascension actually is? And do you see that as the primary force of what is happening to us all with all of these energy shifts leading up to 2012? Okay, it's a tricky one. I mean, the ascension has, it seems, many different meanings from many different people. Some people speak about ascension as leaving the physical body. So some people speak about death, you know, the physical death as the ultimate ascension where the soul leaves the physical body. But in terms of your question and in terms of what's going on, and if you want to talk about it vibrationally and at the different levels, we're basically moving up the levels. The Earth is a 3D reality, But more and more, and then particularly over the past 10 to 20 years, we've been having a growing number of people contacting dimensions above 3D. So if you want to look at it scientifically, the fourth dimension, the fifth dimension, the sixth dimension, seventh dimension, you know, you have somebody like Wendy Kennedy and the other channelers of the Pleiadians who are channeling from the ninth dimension. So all of these aspects of universal energetics and the kind of levels of the energy of the Earth are what it is that we're moving towards. And that's also why there has been this growing wave of channelers, because, you know, channeling's always been here. You know, it's there have always been people accessing height. That's not a new phenomenon. What's new at the moment is the growing number of people who are able to do it, the people who are interested in it. And of course, people are only ever interested in what they're ready to integrate. So the fact that something like channeling has become more popular is a real symbol of the fact that people are in themselves wanting to kind of just go up into their higher selves, basically. So that's what my experience and my perception of ascension is. It's that we're all here living in currently 2011 and, you know, walking through the experiences of what this planet is going through at this time, and we are every day ascending. And, you know, as you ascend, you also have to deal with some of the anchors, some of the issues. So what I mean by that is, let's say you have a session with somebody, or you meditate and have a very big experience, or, you know, you go to a seminar and you get what I call the seminar high. You know, you open up, you expand, and then you leave the seminar and you either maintain that, or because you've just hit a new level of height in yourself, you then kind of go to the bottom part of yourself and try and clear out some of the stuff in your base energy, which is the opposite to ascension, you would argue. But usually, to stabilize ascension, you have to kind of look at the base energies as much as you look at the higher energies and the crown chakra and above. So one of the things that I think is really important to remember is we are, as a planet, ascending, and that is what's going on leading up to 2012. And they'll go beyond 2012 too. 2012 is a kind of marker point. As we go through to 2015 and 2020, we are going to be continuing on this wave, but the point of 2012 is, after 2012, everything in some ways is going to settle and make a bit more sense to everybody. I think the last 5 to 10 years have been particularly crazy, and it will continue. You know, the next 3-4 years are going to see us go through enormous changes as a society and as a planet and as a people, and that's because of ascension. There is a very strong movement in the world, and I hear this said, you know, about everything, you know, everything is moving towards this greater consciousness. So why is there this darkness coming up? Well, it's exactly why. It's because we're moving towards a greater consciousness, and we're trying to clear the way of our base. And if you think about it, you know, the way that we now see the world, it was very easy before for us to live in our own sheltered little world, our own sheltered little universe in our countries, and to occasionally hear about what was going on in other countries. But, you know, in the last few decades, there has been this enormous increase in our understanding of how other cultures are and what's going on in other cultures. And you look at some cultures and you go, wow, they've really got that sussed out compared to our country, because they're really peaceful, really loving. Then you look at other cultures and you go, wow, that's really extraordinary that they are having to deal with that kind of hierarchy, repression, abusive behavior, basically, compared to some of us in the Western world. And the point is, how do we deal with it? So that's my perception on ascension. It is the reason for all of these energy shifts, both the highs and the lows. And that is the reason that we're going through all of this, because 2012 was always this marker point in society and in the world. So I'm really interested to kind of see what it's like from 2013 to 2015. Those are 3 years that really interest me. I'm very, very curious as to how the world's going to be, because I think we really are going to see some quite extraordinary changes and differences in lifestyle and perception that will come very fast far faster than we've ever seen so far. So thank you for your question, Marie. Let's go to our second question on 2012. You see, it must be because it's 2011. That's what I've decided. it's already beginning to come through. Excuse me, I've pressed the wrong button on my computer. Here we go. Okay. Right. This is from Jeremiah. Thank you, Jeremiah. My question to you involves 2012. My personal interpretation of the date is that it marks a point of transition, perhaps in every definition of the word. The galactic alignment of the Earth, Sun, and the center of the galaxy is said to bring on planetary change, such as polarity shifts, magnetic disturbances, solar flares, and a world completely different to the one we are honored to be on now. I don't fear any prophecies that project the full spectrum of doom or doom and gloom, euphoric, blissful transition, or second coming. However, I find I could be using these as excuses to fuel my urgency to heal. It may have caused an underlying anxiety. A short but very intense relationship with an amazing person started my journey to heal from a broken heart. Our paths crossed in 97 when I turned 20. Since then, I feel a great sense of urgency to learn, experience, and heal. I became ravenous for information on healing, which led me the need to learn everything and seek out anything I could on subjects of Reiki, crystals, past life regression, spiritual contracts, extraterrestrial energies, vegan health, cleansing, you name it. I sometimes wonder if my obsession with the metaphysics, quantum physics, and healing may have been a cloak or a distraction I've used to withdraw and protect me from experiencing a relationship again. I'm now 33 and have molded myself into a man that is convinced sharing love with another is unnecessary. This life may not have intentions of another experience with love for me. Do you find that others feel rushed to heal? Why are some of us convinced that love equals completion? Okay, great question, Jeremiah, and it was quite detailed, but I wanted to read it all for you guys. Well, let's just deal with this one step at a time. So you've asked about all of the prophecies that are around and all of the fears of the environment and everything, and you've said it may have caused an underlying anxiety. Without question, and that's not just for you, Jeremiah, I've said a lot recently in seminars, you know, no matter how clear you are, no matter how much you meditate, whether you're, you know, living on raw food, it's very hard for you and us to fully maintain our own vibration and not be affected by the people we're around. One of the reasons that monks, for example, or people who are in an ashram have such a euphoric experience is because they are living in a place where peace and connection is the focus. So think about yourself. And even if you live a very quiet life, you know, if at any point you have to go into a town or a shopping center to pick up supplies, or, you know, you're involved with people, if you have kids that you take to school, then you're immersed in the school community, you can't help but pick up on what's going on out there. And the more conscious you become, the more awake and aware you become, you really do feel what's in others as much as you feel yourself. So if you've got better at feeling, you're going to be better at feeling the group energy. So if you forget this and you go for a walk outside and you don't really know why you feel heavy when you come back, it's usually because you've walked through the energy field of a lot of heaviness. And again, that doesn't mean that there aren't ways to deal with this. You know, you can learn to boundary yourself. You can stay conscious of it. That's the most important thing, because then I find you don't make the choices, or, you know, you move very quickly through a street that you need to pick something up in. So it's not about being in fear of the fear, but it's about recognizing the fear exists. And so when your own story wants to tell you that you've got anxiety, just really ask, is the anxiety yours or is it just planetary? Because we are all experiencing these shifts, these waves of light. And it can lead to some crazy behavior, not just outside you, but inside you. So people outside you can seem a bit more crazy, and you might find you're having slightly more crazy thoughts at times, or what I call destabilizing. You know, one of the things that I did in October was I went and guest spoke for Jeffrey Hoppe and Linda Benyo at the Crimson Circle Mental Imbalance Conference, because you know, mental imbalance and awakening are not dissimilar in some ways. Now, that's a blanket statement. Please don't quote me on that, anybody. What I mean by that is that some of the symptoms can be very, very similar. You know, when you start to deprogram yourself, you open everything up. And at the moment, we're living in a world that's often against its will. People are being asked, or often against their will, people are being asked to destabilize. They're being asked to hook out of the program they bought into and buy into another one. So it causes a lot of energy fluctuations. And you said, I sometimes wonder if my obsession with metaphysics, quantum physics and healing may have been a cloak or distraction I've used to withdraw and protect me from experiencing a relationship again. Honestly, Jeremiah, I don't get that in your case. What I get for you is that they're the places that fit your frequency. And because you opened up to them, turning back to the old world doesn't really give you the same feeling that you get when you focus on these things. So don't worry about that. And honestly, I actually very strongly believe you will actually be in love again. That is something that is coming for you, but it won't be the same as it was. You've very clearly said, why have some of us convinced that love equals completion? Because it's programmed. If you look at, you know, Hollywood movies, they often end with a happy ending. They often end with a kiss in a relationship. They don't usually begin with a kiss and then go through, you know, 2 hours of the stuff that people go through in relationships. And that comes more from the old world. Movies nowadays are reflecting more of the energy of what's going on, for example, so things are more honest. I saw a great movie recently called The Kids Are All Right with Annette Bening and Julianne Moore, and it's a really great relationship the two of them have got in all of its dysfunction. You know, it's very honest and very honest about what they're going through. So I think for you, the love equals completion is actually the society goal. But it really, love can equal completion if you love yourself, and if you're in a complete relationship with yourself. And then you find a companion that's also in a complete relationship with themselves, but the two of you overlap and it's relevant to share. That's a beautiful thing. But it's not the Holy Grail. You know, it's often been seen that way. And yes, I do find that others feel rushed to heal. But I also find that there is usually a compulsion period with your healing, you know, especially when you first open up. If you have like an awakening at a seminar or by a particular author, you can go through a few years of, you know, exploring everything, and then it kind of calms down and it integrates in you, and that's when people really start applying it to their life, I find. So the rush to heal, for some people will be the case, but I would say there has been a rush to feel. That's what I've really noticed, you know, the intensity of the feelings that we've all kind of been working through in the last however many years. So thank you very much for your question, Jeremiah, and yes, good luck, and it will be interesting to see if love comes your way again, because I have a very strong feeling it will. Anyway, so what I'm going to do, guys, is play you a few minutes of 2012 now. This is the channel that I did on the topic of 2012. One of my favorite recordings, and it's in the store this month at leeharrisenergy.com. So here it is.
So, ...2012 is the year where the masters will appear. And masters will appear everywhere. They will appear everywhere, for you will be looking in the mirror of yourself more and more. You will see yourself as the master of your life more and more. And you will see others as the masters of their lives more and more. And there will be a great many of you who will lead the way in creating new systems and frameworks upon Earth, and it will not be the revolutionary act that has often been predicted in the apocalyptic style stories you hear, where all of the earth will die all at once, and a small faction will remain. And they will rebuild from scratch. It does not quite work that way. It is far more gradual, far more step by step. yes, there will be a reduction in the population rate over the next 5 to 10 years that is higher than would be expected, but then that is no great change to any plan that was not always in place. For you see, whenever a world goes through great transformation in consciousness, so too does the physicality of that world change, including certain life forms who wish to not experience that level of consciousness while physically alive, disappearing, for it is not their way or their choice, and they always elected to be part of the wave who disappeared at that moment. You have to understand that while the human heart experiences these moments and events as so tragic and overwhelmingly difficult, when you do understand these things from a soul perspective, and you are not in the body, therefore having no attachment to being in the body or need to stay attached to what is going on for you, you do not see these things as tragedies, for you have lived through so many tragedies in some ways that you understand that they are parts of the story. They are parts of the story of Earth at this time. They are parts of the story of your life on Earth at this time. And in the story of your life on Earth at this time, they might be the greatest tragedy of your life. They might be the saddest human emotion you ever felt. But when you die, the story will be released. And so that is why there are so many of you at this time releasing so much, so fast, and some of you not quite knowing where it is all going, how it is all going.
That was 2012 Now, and I hope you enjoyed it. And this is the end of the show, which is kind of a strange thing. I feel surprisingly emotional saying goodbye to you all, even though it's funny, because who knows, it might only be 3 or 4 months before I'm back doing a show, a podcast. And as I said, hopefully my own show. I have plans to do a more regular show that will feature interviews and other things as well. But until my album is finished, I'm going to put that on hold. One thing just to let you all know is that I am coming to San Francisco and then another place in California. We haven't quite decided where, but this will be around the end of March, beginning of April. So if you'd like to know about the events with me in San Francisco, it will be a one-day event on divine partnership, the male and the female inside us and how to marry those two. Plus, there will be a couple of evenings with me in San Francisco, certainly one evening. And then I'm doing a rather special event that I can't speak about yet because it's still being formed, but I'm joining forces with somebody, hopefully, and we're going to do an event within the vicinity of LA is the idea, but it could be a couple of hours from LA. So I'll speak about that on my newsletter as it's announced. So if you want to join the newsletter to stay up to date and to know when I'm back on the air, that would be great. And all that remains is for me to say another thank you to all of you and to Jules. I've had a great time doing this show with all of you. And I wish you all love and luck for the year. And I will be doing a yearly forecast talking about the energy of 2011. That will be available as a video on YouTube probably around the middle of this month. So again, the newsletter is the way to find out when that's ready. But I'm going to leave you with a song of mine called Closer Than Far. And this was from the Ibiza sessions. And this was kind of a love letter to Ibiza, which is the most amazing island that I spent a lot of the summer of 2006 recording this music. So this is Closer Than Far. And from me to you, lots of love and take care.
renegades who stole the sky will pay. When she has her way, I've been chasing up this mountain, she's been leading me again. I was comatized and sullen, still woken by my friend. Closer than far she is to me, yeah. Sacrifice to keep her loving up all night, you see. Hands bound, now are free. And I've been chasing up this mountain, she's been leading me again. I was comatized and sullen, still awoken by my friend. Closer than far, she is to me.
Thank you.
You have been listening to a Lee Harris recording. For more from Lee or more recordings, please visit www.leeharrisenergy.com.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another great show. For more information, go to lawofattractiontools.com or contact Jules personally at jules@loaradionetwork.com.